Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks with us until 4. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpetes.com. Some interesting audio of Coach Sirianni getting a little snippy. We'll get you that audio in a second right after we talk to Chad and Clayton. Chad, you're on WIP.
Hi.
Chad, showtime,
yeah,
buddy.
I just called in. I called in because I hear what y'all are saying about the defense. And let me first off by say, I'm not naive. I do know we need an edge rusher. But you cannot sit up here and blame the defense when they held that defense to 6 points in the first quarter. Mm. Well, actually, the second half.
Well,
the offense did not help us out.
They didn't hold them
all
to 6 points in the second half.
Yeah, what do you mean?
In the second half, I believe it was 6-7.
That was the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
They scored on every possession in the second half.
In three possessions.
0-0. The Eagles didn't get no points.
That was the first quarter.
Yeah, in the first quarter.
Yeah.
But the first half.
They had six at halftime. The score was 7-6 at halftime.
Yes. I'm not arguing that. Defense did a good job.
Yeah. This one's on me.
I'm happy to have him on my side because, as he's right, 15 points through 58 minutes is not a bad outcome for the defense. We can ask them to do it a different way stylistically, but at the end of the day, if they give up 15 points in the first 58 minutes, when the offense has the ball with a minute 46 to go, they should win that game. The defense played well.
Hold on, they were up six.
You're saying when the defense went back on the field?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Left the field with a lead.
The defense was bad there. I agree. They blew it, for sure.
So we're supposed to ignore that?
No, but I'm saying this idea that the defense was like a train wreck last night, no, I don't think is true.
I didn't say they were a train wreck. As a matter of fact, we said everybody has a hand in this. Coaching, the defense, the play calling on the offensive side of the ball, the stars at the end of the game. Like, there is, I don't know who's blameless.
No, I don't think anyone is.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't mean like you guys said it, but I think the general way we talk about the defense seems very different than the way we talk about the offense.
Because the defense was the last unit on the field when the Falcons scored.
Well, yeah, but then the offense threw the ball away.
Okay, so, and you yourself said Jalen's the reason they lost.
Yeah, I think he plays a big part of it. And I think the concern for me is to look big picture for a second. If you look over the last 10 games, the Eagles have a worse record than the New York Giants. Like, that matters to me.
I know. The seven games from last year, I swear to God, it's going to carry so much weight for
long. It matters.
Well, how much did the first 11 games matter?
Last year?
Yeah.
You're saying less than the last seven to me.
Okay.
Because the seven
nobody goes back to those 11
because
games.
Because there's a clear point
because they
of
don't
where,
matter.
No, because there's a clear point of where it broke. It broke when they started that collapse.
But
they've been unable to fix it.
But based on what?
Because they have a worse record than the Giants.
I know that's what the results say, but how did they get to those results?
If I go look at
the Saints and how bad they were last year, does that have anything to do with their 2-0 right now?
I don't think it does, no.
Well, why is it for the Eagles?
Because the Eagles are a prolonged stretch of playing poorly. Like, if we want to talk big picture about if we should believe.
I was told last week that was a masterpiece.
In week one?
Yes.
It was a good win. I agree. But the prolonged stretch of football for this team is below average. And
based
not
on
the
last seven games of last year.
And last night. And last night.
But what about the last 30 or 40 games?
Over the last 30 or 40 games, they've been better.
What about that prolonged stretch?
Yes, but it's not a prolonged stretch.
It's a window, which I agree with.
Yeah.
Nobody's arguing that. Nobody's arguing that they were bad at the end of the year. What I'm saying is that's a completely different team than what's here right now. The circumstances are completely different.
I don't know if they are.
But they are. Saquon wasn't here. The coordinators, the systems that they're running this year wasn't there last year. the contentiousness in the locker room, the disconnect that was there last year. You're telling me that's what's the reason why they're losing right now?
No, I'm saying that at
What about that part?
Right. I don't think the contentiousness is there yet. I agree with you on that. And you're right. Saquon is here, and the coordinators are different. But we just talked about the coordinators weren't great last night. And Saquon dropped the biggest play of the game. So my
Were the coordinators great last week?
In the first week, yeah, I thought they were better that week.
So what are we going to do week to week based on results? We're going to decide whether or not they were good or bad?
What I want from this team is a stretch of looking like what they're supposed to look like. We consistently call them Super Bowl contenders. We consistently say they have one of the best best rosters in the league. Uh-huh. And they have not looked like that for more than a game at a time for almost a year.
Okay.
And so moving forward with this team, do I think the season's over? No. But when I don't have the confidence I used to that this is going to be like a 12-win team. Like,
that's fine. Nobody cares about your confidence or not it's going to be a 12-win team. I don't really care about that. What I'm doing is trying to be practical and realistic to say that this team has played two games in a different system, under new regime, under new coaching, and under a new regimen. And so they play two games. I can look around the league and not overreact. There are a lot of teams that everybody thought was going to be so great.
Yeah, but the rest of the league doesn't matter. Like right now, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Well, hold on, the Eagles.
We've been doing
this. Hold on. Hold up.
Go ahead.
Don't tell me the rest of the league doesn't matter when you're trying to compare and contrast where the Eagles are. If you want to just do everything in a vacuum, then go ahead. But to have some sort of realistic perspective on where they really are and how you should view them moving forward, having some context of where they are in the season and what a lot of other teams look like based on predictions are, they aren't throwing their seasons away. So right now, you, somebody who has so much high hope and praise for this team coming out of training camp from the head coach to the quarterback, all of a sudden, because they lost the game, all that's changed. And so we should take what you're saying and run with that as the gospel, because your emotions change based on what happens after the result. Not how the confidence you have going into it, it's the results. Have some conviction in what you're saying. You said this team was going to be good this year. Okay, they're 1-1.
Yeah.
Would we feel any different had they lost to Green Bay and beat Atlanta?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
they'd be 1-1.
No, but here's, okay. So first of all,
a lot of people didn't expect them to beat Green Bay. And if they had beat Atlanta at home, you wouldn't be sitting here talking this way right now.
Look. I agree it's disappointing that the training camp did not translate over. I thought they would be better. I agree with you on that. But if we're talking about to believe in them, like forget how I feel.
It's one game.
No, hold on. When's the last time this team looked the way we wanted them to look?
I don't know. Based on who you are, I don't know how you want the team to look.
No, but I'm saying, like, we talk about them like having
the team to look. I want the team to look. I'm okay if the team wins one possession games. Yeah, evidently, you need them to win by double digits.
I want them to play better.
But nobody dominates the league like that every week.
The Saints do. They do. The Eagles in 2022, the Eagles dominated
the
teams.
Cowboys.
The Eagles dominated teams in 2022. They dominated teams in 2017.
Oh, that's right. I can't listen. My brain is not being fed. I had to get up from the table.
I
got to get up from the table. So I'm talking in circles right now.
Let's go to the next thing.
One more quick thing. The only point I'm making is we've been pointing to the rest of the league for a while. It's time for the Eagles to worry about their own house, and they have
They're 1-1.
Yes, but they've not looked good for almost a calendar year.
All right, I am ending this part of the conversation.
Fair.
All right.
They haven't. The last person they got was against the Dolphins.
Enough. Okay, next part of the conversation.
All right.
Sirianni was asked about the play call last night on 3rd and 3 and whose call it was, whether it was his or Kellen Moore's. And here was his reaction.
Clarify on the calls, though. Kellen's making,
Kellen's the offense coordinator that makes – Kellen's the offense coordinator makes the calls, if you're trying to stir that up.
Rule him on this.
Yeah, I'm the head coach.
Okay.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Wow.
Mm. So I thought it was interesting right afterwards, and obviously I'm staring at the internet or whatever, but after the game ends and everyone is blaming Sirianni for the 3rd and 3 call, after we just spent 4 months talking about the fact that he's not calling the plays. So I guess the question for Ike and Elliot is, sorry, Jack, unless you have a one-liner.
I'll work on it.
Okay. Is, who do we think made that call? Because I assume it's Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
And then, is it right to blame Sirianni for it? In that, I'll give you, my perspective is, the only thing Sirianni could have done would have been to tell Kellen Moore, we're going for it on fourth down, no matter what happens here. So call your third down play, yep, as if you have fourth down too.
Yep.
But we assume that Kellen Moore made that call, right? Do we,
yes,
all assume that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So I've actually been thinking about this today, and I'd be curious, not to throw it back at you, but your perspective on this, Mike, as someone that has been a boss.
A manager.
I don't know if you've heard this.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
Yeah.
But so I think on one hand, it is unfair to blame Sirianni, obviously, for that third down call. Kellen Moore called the play. And I know we disagreed, but I thought it was a bad play call. Regardless, what I've been debating is, once Sirianni hears that it's not a clear run, that they're not just running the ball, should he step in?
If he feels differently?
Yeah. No.
No.
So I think, yeah, that's where I lean. That in the second week, you can't already be overriding Kellen on the side.
No, because I'll tell you what. If it doesn't work, somebody is going to leak out that that's
exactly
what happened.
Right.
And then this snowballs into,
yes,
something bad.
Yep. Yeah.
If Sirianni, if the conversation is, and you can debate whether this is the right way to handle the situation from a top line level, but is that Kellen's calling the plays. Kellen makes those calls.
Right.
So the minute that Nick Sirianni, and by the way, in week two, comes in and overrules him on the most important call of the game, you can't do it.
So I that's where I fall, ultimately. I don't think he should do it. Yeah, I think you, at that point, early in the season, without a track record of, you know, week after week disagreeing, I think he was right to just let Kellen call that play. My guess is the test.
I could have gave a better answer.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
He didn't
have to do that.
He's probably upset that the guy that asked the question is number one and insider of the
right,
year.
Right, over his boy. Yeah, Nick agrees.
Well, I do think that Nick is in a difficult position answering these questions because on one end, he is the head coach. Everything falls upon him, the good things, the bad things, so on and so forth. He is the one that should have to answer for it. On the other end, he is in a situation where there has been enough exposition about what his role is,
right,
that it almost sounds ridiculous for him to take the blame for it, but it also sounds ridiculous for him to cast the blame, you know? So they're asking him, why did you do this? And he makes the he answers. He'll just say, here's why we made the call. And they go, well, whose call was it?
Yeah,
and that's a very difficult position for him to be in because he's going to want to take the blame, but everybody knows that if he takes specific blame for this, it makes it look like he made the call.
Well,
so it's like, yeah, it's a very difficult position for him to be
so
in.
So, first of all, I think it's a fair question. I agree with you. Like, I don't think he handled it well. Like, you made a story out of an answer, which is what you're trying not to do. I think from his perspective, he's probably thinking all offseason, I was told, what does he do? CEO, head coach, like, mm-hmm, you know, just here because how he controls him. And then there's a bad play call, and it's, well, hey, did you make that call?
Right.
You know, like all offseason, it was made crystal clear. Kellen is calling the plays. And then there was a controversial play. Like, I didn't hear anybody last week saying, well, which plays did Nick call in the game when they scored 34 points, right? So I think from Nick's perspective, and he shouldn't have let emotion get the better of him there, for sure. But I would imagine that was probably where the frustration came from.
Yeah.
I can understand being frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, if you're him. Now, that is his lot in life right now. That's what he's going to have to deal with. And he's definitely going to be. And by the way, like, this is what happens to every coach, is that the plays that work were good calls. The plays that don't work are bad calls. But what's going to happen here, to your point, is that when the offense is working, everyone will say, see, I told you so. We have somebody in here who knows what they're doing.
Yep.
And when the offense is not working, or when plays like that are called, then it'll go back.
Right. Kellen calls the good plays. Nick calls the bad plays.
Right.
We can just get that out of the way.
Yeah, to some extent. I think that's true. Was there anything that you felt positive about after last night's game?
I mean, I think the obvious one is Jalen as a runner. I always thought he was still a great runner. I know the results haven't shown that, but I just see him move in training camp, so I know he has it in him to physically do it. I always felt in games it was more of a mental thing where he's not worried about not getting hurt or, you know, deciding to run a certain way. I thought it was noteworthy last night that after a few of those runs, and you could hear it in his voice after the game, I mean, he was fired up. Like, after a few of those big runs, and he got the one taunting play or whatever the and it was a lame flag.
Well, when
he spiked the ball, whatever it was. Yeah. I thought he showed a ton of emotion last night after some of those runs. Again, up until the final 2 minutes, I actually thought Jalen, again, played better than he did in Green Bay. I thought if they win that game, I'm on here today saying this is why you pay a quarterback like Jalen, because he made plays that other quarterbacks don't make with his legs. He just did. Like, I think the best part of their offense for the majority of that game was him creating with his legs.
Yeah.
So I do think that was a positive for sure. I mean, if he plays that style of game the rest of the season, you know, I think that's a somewhat acceptable outcome. The interception is very bad, clearly, but he was smart with the ball outside of that.
Yeah, I didn't think we were creative enough schematically offensively last night. I don't know, AJ getting injured late in the week.
Yeah.
What did that do to the game plan? How did it alter it? I just didn't like the adjustment we made to AJ not being in the offense last night. The offense looked pedestrian at times. You know, Jalen is dropping back, and I said this before the game, he's familiar with two guys, and that's who he was probably going to throw the ball to. Was dead on with Devontae. Thought he would throw the ball to Dallas Goedert a little bit more. I don't know. Did they switch up the plays and all of a sudden Brent Covey is playing Devontae Smith role and Devontae Smith is playing AJ role? I don't know. But whatever it was, there's no way you went to bed at night saying Brent Covey is going to be the second leading target guy in our offense this week.
Well, what was crazy about that was it wasn't like coincidentally he got the ball six times. He was targeted.
Yes.
Like, the play call was designed for him six times.
Well, I think one of the things it shows is that Jahan Dotson is not ramped up and is not ready.
That's disappointing too, though. I mean, from a coaching perspective, you've now had this guy in the building for, is it?
Two and a half weeks.
I mean, he should be ready. He's not a rookie. He's a two-year player that you paid a third-round pick for. This idea that you need a month to get him ready,
Yeah, how long did it take Julio to get adjusted last year?
Well, yeah, I don't know if Julio's a Hall of Famer.
Well, I mean, he was, but he was in there.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, I don't blame Jahan Dotson for last night.
So coming up next,
I just don't know if, like, when is he going to be a part of the offense and do something?
Right, why'd you pay a third for him?
Coming up next, Jordan Mailata will join us to talk about really all of these things. So Jordan Mailata is next. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Marks. Biggest reason the Eagles lost, 54% say defensive line, 32% Nick Sirianni, 9% Saquon, and 5% Kellen Moore. Because remember, Kellen calls the good plays and not the bad plays.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys.
It's always a good time.
Always fun. Yeah.
All right. Beat it, kid.
I'm getting texts saying Ike hates me, so you know the job was done.
Oh, you know we love you.
Love you. Jordan Mailata is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. So we love Elliot. What I don't love is your old drafty windows. They're embarrassing. Even the Elliot does embarrass us sometimes too, but your old drafty windows, they got to go. And I know the story. You don't feel like dealing with it. Too expensive, hassle, blah, blah, blah. When you go Gaida, they're going to make sure it's not as expensive.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.